If you have your Bibles open, we're going to be in Ezekiel 6, verses 8 through 10. I titled the lesson, How I've Been Hurt. And you'll see those are the words of God, that they've been hurt. What you do is you begin reading these Old Testament prophets. You get to see how God really feels about situations. And when people, His people, have to go off into captivity and many of them killed, it pains God. Don't ever think God enjoys hurting His people. And here Ezekiel, God is expressing through Ezekiel that they're going to captivity. I mean, He sent them Jeremiah, He sent them Isaiah. And now here comes Ezekiel and it's over. And the people don't believe it. And you know, you find out that many times God's own people really don't believe in what God says. And so God has this pain how people hurt Him. And they hurt Him deeply. Simply because they don't believe what He says is going to happen. Well, one of the things that He's going to tell them through here, and we'll see tonight, He's going to tell them, you're going to remember. You're going to remember things that went on. You know, any time we go through Scripture and you find in Scripture, remember, it tells you that you knew something in the past. And you've moved away from it. And He's calling you back. I mean, He goes to places like Revelation 2, where the church at Ephesus, He tells them, you remember from what you have fallen, from where you've fallen. He's called, you know, there's always a place. There's always a place in 1 Corinthians 15, He tells them, I'm going to remind you of the gospel that I first preached to you. You remember that. So remembrance means that you're not ignorant. You've known it, and you've moved away. And your only hope is if you will come back and you will remember and you can start right there. Another thing we find when they're going off into captivity, not everybody's going to die. A lot of them are going to die from another nation overtaking them and overrunning them. But a lot of them too are going to be carried away into countries that are not their own. You know, it'd be you and I. How would you like to be uprooted from your present home and you carried off into some foreign country and you're going to settle there and you're going to work as a slave and you're going to have to do everything asked of you in a foreign country? See, we don't see that as well because we don't think it could ever happen to us, but it can. And so He began to tell them in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 8. He says, however, I will leave a remnant. For you will have those who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered among the countries. God always has a plan. Not all of you are going to die. I'm going to leave a remnant. Now the question is, what if you're not part of the remnant? Oh. It means you're going to die. But God expresses, there's going to be some who escape. And this happens in 586 B.C. when they're taken captive. It's a third wave that the nations come through. And you're carried away. You no longer have a homeland. You no longer have the possessions that you were so comfortable with. Your nationality is gone. You as a people. I mean, it can happen. And so, the Lord's going to leave a remnant, but If you look in verse 9, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations, to which they will be carried captive. How I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me, and by their eyes which played the harlot after their idols. Oh, those who escape, they will remember me. You know, some of the times, the only time we remember God is when our lives get so messed up, we're so far removed, we are in such bad circumstances. Yeah, then you start calling to remember. Well, that's the time you better remember. You should have heeded God before you get there. But the one thing about it, he tells them in verse 9, you will remember me among the nations. You're going to remember me how you have hurt me. You can hurt God. You and I can hurt God today. You just don't listen. You just don't pay heed. You can remember God, how bad things are. It's not good now. Let me ask you this. What if you end up in hell? That's a horrid thought in itself. What if you end up in hell and God says, you'll remember. Remember the opportunities that I gave you. Remember me when the times that I tried to get you on track. Remember the truth that you had in front of you and the opportunity to do something with it. And you didn't do a thing. And now, here you are. You followed other people all these years. You've listened to other people's advice. And now you remember me and the opportunities. And it's too late. You know, probably one of the worst things that we can think about being lost eternally is that you're going to remember. You're going to remember. And what a haunting thing for all of eternity. It will never change. And you just remember. Can't do a thing about it. And hear God speaking through Ezekiel. You will remember me. You'll remember how I've been hurt. Look at verse 9 again, the first part of it. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations to which they will be carried captive. How I've been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me, and by their eyes, which played the harlot after their idols. You know why they're going into captivity and they're going to die? Because they're not listening to God any longer. They've forgotten God. And now you hurt me. And you know how they've hurt God? He says here in verse 9, by their adulterous hearts. They wanted another lover. That's what adultery is. Here God has provided them with everything they need, with the truth of His Word, with the way to life, and they have adulterous hearts. They have joined up with another person, and they've committed adultery. Anytime you go astray from the Word of God, anytime that you tie into other ideas and other things that are not of God, you're an adulterer. And oh, how it hurts God. Adultery hurts. When you find another lover, it hurts. I can't tell you over the years how many I've had to deal with in marriages where a mate's been unfaithful. and the one that wasn't unfaithful, they're betrayed. They can't believe that their mate betrayed them like that. They can't believe that the hurt that is deep within their heart, why did you do this to me? I trusted you. I poured my life into you. I poured everything into this marriage. And now you've shattered it all because you wanted someone outside of this marriage. And then the divorce happens. And a lot of times, it's very difficult to overcome that divorce because you sever the relationship. Anytime, brethren, we go and we follow other things and other ideas, you're going to adulterate before God and God's going to have to end the marriage with you. And you've betrayed Him. And that's what He tells these people. Oh, how I've been hurt by your adulterous hearts. And by your eyes, they played the part of a harlot. See, He's using terms you and I could understand. When you go after, and I'm going to say it a third time, when you go after other teachings, when you incorporate teachings of the world, you've just adulterated before God. And you're not pure anymore. You're not joined purely in the relationship. And so, they've done the same thing. Oh, God says, how I've been hurt. That's why you're there. But look at the end of verse 9. He says, and they will loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils which they've committed, for all their abominations. You know what the people are going to do? They're going to loathe themselves. I mean, they're going to hate themselves for what they've done. You know, when you deal with a mate that's unfaithful, you know what that unfaithful one does a lot of times? I can't believe I went to that length. They hate what they've done. They hate what they've become. That's what's going to happen to these people. Because He said they're going to loathe themselves in their own sight. Yeah, that's why people see things about themselves as not good, is because they're going to hate the very things that they become. And I'll tell you this tonight. Sooner or later, everything you're doing and everything you practice and every avenue you take, it's going to come back on you. You know the verses, you'll reap what you sow. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. And it's going to all come back at you. And you're going to remember where you've fallen from. And you're going to remember, oh, how you hurt God. Well, look at verse 10. He says, then they will know that I am the Lord. And I have not said in vain that I would inflict this disaster upon them. Can you imagine God? You know, one of the things we hate to be said to. You ever done something and you failed in it, and then when you failed, someone comes back and says, I told you so. Oh, we don't like hearing that. You know what God told these people back here? I told you I'd inflict pain on you if you forget me. I told you if you don't follow my ways, I'm going to do this. Do you not think my word means anything? And we look at our when we parented our children and our parents parenting their children. And you say something to your child and your child just ignores you and goes their way. And you think, why are you doing that? You don't think my words mean anything? God says the same thing. You think I said that in vain? You don't think that I teach and I instruct And I want you in this way that I don't mean what I say when I say if you go away from it, it's going to turn out bad for you. Did I not say that? Oh, how you hurt me. And you can almost hear, especially in the early part of the book of Ezekiel, you can almost hear God hurting. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But I'm a faithful God. And I will keep my word. And when I teach you this is the way it is, I will keep my word on that. And don't you think I said it in vain. When I warn you about where to walk, I didn't warn you just because I want to hear myself talk. I'm trying to keep you from forfeiting the relationship. Because this is where I live. Well, here in Ezekiel, this isn't the only time that Israel has done this to their God. Oh no. Come back, if you would, with me to Psalm 78. Come back to Psalm 78. Look down at verse 40. And the psalmist is giving a history of Israel. And you know, I think sometimes we say the word so much when we talk about Israel or the Jews. I think we say it so much, we kind of get desensitized to who they are. These were the people that God rescued and gave His Word to. Just like you and I today. And they've adulterated with God. So when we're looking at these things, we're talking about the church today too. It applies. In Psalm chapter 78, down in verse 40, look at what he says here. This is the history of Israel. How often they rebelled against Him in the wilderness, and they grieved Him in the desert. Can you imagine that when people rebel against God, God is grieved? You know, sometimes I wonder if my brethren think that God's got a big old stick waiting for you to do the wrong thing and He's going to whap you when you go off base. No. God patiently waits to see if you will remember. If you'll come back. And when God has to take action, it grieves Him. Let me tell you this. There will not be one person in the fires of hell that doesn't grieve God. Because God wants people to make it. And so he says, they rebelled in Him in the wilderness. They grieved Him in the desert. Look at verse 41. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. Opportunities to walk are before you. And you don't do it. And it pains God. God doesn't smile when people go astray. It pains Him. But His Word means something. And he doesn't speak in vain. You do this, and this is going to happen. You're going to reap what you sow. Don't you think it's not going to happen? And it grieves God. It pains God when people go down the wrong road. His people that He redeemed and bought with the blood of His Son. These people who were bought with the blood on the doorpost out of Egyptian bondage when God came through and killed all the firstborn. It grieved God. It pained God when He sent them into that wilderness. They didn't have to go there. They could have had the better. They chose to rebel. And now God's pained and He said, my words, they're there for a reason. In verse 42, they did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from slavery. He redeemed them just like He redeemed you and I. And you know what? They didn't remember. The power of God to redeem people? Oh. And it pains him. But there's one more aspect. Come on back, if you would, to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Just a couple of verses here. In Numbers 14, the 12 spies have just come back from spying out a land God wanted to bless His people with. And you remember 10 of them said, no, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. And so, fears came upon the people. And you know what they decided to do? We're going to do it our way. We've got a solution to this problem. And so in that solution, look at verse 7 and 8. Joshua and Caleb, this is what they say to the people. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Oh, what does Joshua and Caleb tell the people? Trust God at His Word. If you trust God at His Word, He said it's ours. It's a good land. It's not just a good land. It's an exceedingly good land, He says. And God will do it. Look at how they respond in verse 9. Well, before I get verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Don't you fear people. No, don't do that. You know why? He said, the protection has been removed from them by God. Anytime anyone rebels against God, God removes His protection, even if it's His people. And what do you have if you remove yourself from the protection of God? Boy, it's anybody's game then. And Joshua and Caleb are trying to bring them forward and trying to say, don't do that. Let's don't go this direction. They know God's removed. Verse 10. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Let's just stop right there. Here's the truth. Here's what God wants. And you don't want that. By the way, we're tired of you preachers getting in our way. We're tired of you telling things that we're maybe doing. I've seen that all my life. All my years of preaching. That people get upset when you try to stop them from doing something that they want to do. And they end up, they want to rebel. And the first thing you want to get rid of is the ones telling you not to do it. Because you're so emotionally charged and you're mindset is so strong, don't you tell me I can't do it. That's rebellion. And oh, how it pains God. How it hurts God. You know, any time you do it your way, the problems that you go through in life are going to be greater and more intense. And it's going to be more difficult for you to make progress. Because the Lord's not with that. No, He never sides with that. Well, let me give you a quick application. Come over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God can still be hurt. God can still make you remember. In its little verses, I hope we hear well. It's little verses like Ephesians 4 verse 29, that matter. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Let no unwholesome words. Think about the moment you're in. Think about the need of the moment that you're in. And instead of letting words fly out of your mouth, you need to think about things before you do it. You know why this is so important? Because of the next verse, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When we hurt others with our language, when we hurt others with our words, oh, how it grieves the Holy Spirit. See, God's hurt. God's always been hurt. He knows that. You know who the Holy Spirit is? He's the only one that you are sealed with for the day of redemption. He is your seal that God has placed there, that when you get to the end of time, that seal is going to stand good for you. You're my child. And if you and I begin to grieve the Holy Spirit, you're taking away the only thing between you and all of eternity. And you don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. You don't ever want to grieve the Spirit of God. And so when you let unwholesome words come out, oh, it starts grieving Him. Oh, we speak without thinking. We speak without thinking. An unwholesome word, you know, you get into a spat with your mate, and that thing just escalates till you say something really, really bad. Now, you know what? You're not helping the need of the moment. And now you are just this close to grieving the Holy Spirit. Oh, God says, how I've been hurt. You're not helping. Don't do that. You were sealed for the day of redemption. And if you lose that, you've just lost your protection. Oh, it's that serious. But one more and we'll quit. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is what he calls on Timothy to remember. 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. And Paul writes to the preacher, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. You know what he's telling him not to do? He's not asking him just to remember that Jesus was raised. He's telling Peter, or he's telling Timothy, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. He's your protection. He's your source of salvation. He is everything for you, to you. And you need to remember that. You need to remember that He is your supplier from God. He's the only one that stands between you and God as a mediator. That's why He rose from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Because He's the one that gives you your standing for God. But whenever you go wandering off to other things, whenever you go wandering off to other ideas, You no longer remember Jesus risen from the dead. You remember religion. You remember everything but Christ. And you incorporate it all. You know, it's easy for you and I to get lazy. It's easy for you and I to just coast along. And the term God just only becomes a phrase we use in a point of exclamation. He's no longer my Father. He's no longer revered. I need to remember. You need to remember. He's my God who instructs me. He's your God who watches over you. He's our God that gives us a path to walk for our sake. So when our devotion starts waning, when our commitment's not quite as sincere, oh, how that hurts God. And He's pained. So I want you to understand tonight, everything that we preach, everything we teach, everything that we believe in from this Scripture needs to have a big, big impact on the way you think and how you live. Because if you get off track, you will remember one day. I remember when I had it good. Had a Christian tell me one time that had fallen away from the Lord, the best years of my life were the years I walked with Jesus. And they'd gone so hard and their hearts got so cold, they can't turn themselves. It's not God won't have them. They won't have God. And they begin to loathe themselves and they think, have I gone so far? I can't get back. Oh, I hate what I've done, you know. Yeah, now you're remembering. The question is, do you have any faith to get up and respond? Do you? And that's what we need. I pray God will help us. I hope you'll see it.